Chapter 6. Late that evening, Mr. Bruff visited me. Not at all his usual confident self. "You know the truth at last," he said. "However, the price you, both of you, paid was too much. She's young. She will get over this with time. Promise me, Mr. Franklin, that you won't try and see her again, will you? You have my word. Now, in my opinion, it would be better to consider the inexplicable events which Miss Rachel described as dead and buried." He saw my total confusion. "We're wasting our time in the past, Mr. Franklin. We must look to the future. What do we know? We know it was pawned to Mr. Luker. Do we know who by? No. Where is it now? In Luker's bank. And there is every chance that the person who pawned it may want to get it back. It is already June, almost a year since it was put in the bank. So I suggest watching the bank. However, if Murthwaite is right, then the Indians will be watching it too. Whatever happens, we must find out who pawned the diamond. Only the discovery of the thief can restore you to your rightful place in Miss Rachel's heart. It means waiting about a fortnight at the most." "A lifetime," I said. "My existence is a horrible dream. I must do something now. I had thought of contacting Sergeant Cuff." "Useless. He has retired from the police." I told him I knew where to find him. "All right, do what you want," said Bruff, picking up his hat. "Yes, it's worth a try. As for me, I'll take care of the bank." We parted. Next morning, as I walked up the garden path of a little cottage in Dorking, I saw Cuff's favourite flower everywhere around me. Far from the crimes of the great city, he was living out his last years here. His wife told me he was in Ireland on rose business. For how long? She didn't know. I gave her my card and asked whether he could contact me as soon as he returned. For most of that night, I sat smoking, building up wild, hopeless theories and knocking them down again. The next morning, pure chance rescued me from my confusion. I put on the coat I was wearing the day I visited Rachel and found Betteridge's letter in a pocket. I read it again. Dr. Candy had said he wanted to say something very important to me. I wondered what it could be. Something about the birthday evening, perhaps. Instinct told me to go to Yorkshire that day. The next train left 3 hours later. As I sat, wondering how to kill the time, my thoughts kept wandering back to the birthday dinner. I tried to remember all the guests. Most of them were from Fritzing Hall, except Godfrey, Mr. Murthwaite, and Miss Clack. I decided to pay Godfrey a visit. I drove to his club, where I met a friend in the hall, a friend of Godfrey's also. He told me that shortly after Rachel broke off their engagement, he had made an offer of marriage to another very rich young lady, who accepted. But a few days later, the engagement was suddenly broken off. Soon afterwards, Godfrey was extremely generously remembered in the will of a very rich old lady, a member of the Young Mothers, etc., etc., Society. She had also been a friend of Miss Clack, but had only left her a ring. £5,000 richer, Godfrey felt the need for a rest from his charitable activities. He had left London for Europe the previous day, and was expected to be gone at least 3 months. I arrived too late in Fritzing Hall to see Betteridge. The next morning I sent a messenger to ask him to come to my hotel. I decided to visit Dr. Candy before he came. When I saw the once lively little doctor, I could hardly recognize him. His eyes were dim, his face thin and grey. The man was a wreck.
"Yes, I have often thought of you, Mr. Blake,"
the poor man said, then forgot what he wanted to say next. You remember the mysterious loss of the Indian diamond? I said. I'm trying to find it. I need to find out everything I can about what happened at the birthday party. There may be a clue. Do you remember anything out of the ordinary? The doctor picked restlessly at his fingers, his dull eyes fixed emptily on me. The man had no idea what I was talking about. You sent a message to Gabriel Betteridge saying you wanted to see me, I said.
Yes, yes, he said. That's it. I sent you a message.
He tried to remember why. I tried to help. It's been nearly a year now since the dinner at Lady Verinder's. It was the last time we saw each other.
Ah, the dinner,
he said.
Yes, I've something to say to you about that.
He looked at me with a painful expression of inquiry, desperately trying to remember.
Yes, it was a most pleasant dinner, he said.
By this time I had been with him nearly an hour. Not wanting to tire him, I rose to leave.
I'm so glad we've met again,
he said. I went slowly downstairs, certain he had had something to say. A door opened on the ground floor, and a gentle voice said, I'm afraid, sir, that Dr. Candy is sadly changed. It was Ezra Jennings.